Hey everyone, it's Rich Bennett, host of Conversations with Rich Bennett, bringing you an exciting chance to win with our latest giveaway sponsored by Tar Heel Construction Group. Get ready to make a splash just by tuning in to the podcast. Yes, you heard that right. While you're soaking up our latest episodes, listen closely for a special splash sound. When you hear it, remember the episode name. Here's what you do next. Shoot us an email at podcast@harfordcountyliving.com with the episode title. Each splash sound means a new chance to win. So the more you listen, the better your chances. If you don't have email, then just leave a voicemail from our website at conversationswithrichbennett.com. What's the prize? How about a brand new waterproof Bluetooth speaker? Perfect for listening to our episodes, whether you're in the bath, on the beach, in the pool, or on the go. You have until the end of May to send in your entries, and we'll announce the lucky winner on June 3rd. Don't miss out on this splashy opportunity brought to you by Tar Heel Construction Group. Dive into our episodes and win big. At the end of each podcast episode, I'm going to recommend a podcast that somehow or another ties into this episode. So please listen to the whole episode of the podcast, because I guarantee you, podcast I recommend, you're going to love. Recently, the Harford County Health Department hired two community health outreach workers, and they've been pretty busy. They hired these people to help improve minority health in Harford County. Of course, their first task was to reach the population who were resistant to vaccination, provide resources and information to those who requested it, and assist in scheduling vaccination appointments. They've also created some wonderful programs. They have Let's Talk About It, which is a live stream, a wonderful program you're going to learn about where it involves crockpots. It's something about a throwdown or a smackdown. I can't remember. Anyway, on this episode of Conversations with Rich Bennett, I sat down with members of the Harford County Health Department again, and we are going to be talking about their new program about minority health. Enjoy the conversation.
Coming to you from the Freedom Federal Credit Union Studios, Harford County Living presents Conversations with Rich Bennett.
Come on,
you're faster than
with
me.
Guys. Hey,
yeah.
That was quick.
We've been together.
Jack, it's
24th. Oh, man, you already said it. I was going to ask her. She remembered the date. So we're sitting here today at the health department, the Harford County Health Department, and we're going to be talking about a new program, and we're going to go around the table and let everybody introduce themselves, and we're going to start to my left as usual, somebody I haven't seen in a while. Past couple of recordings, you haven't been there because you've been hiding.
I know, I've been a little busy though.
Okay.
My name is Christina Claypool, and I'm a health policy analyst at the health department.
And my name is Rani Nassar. I'm the health policy analyst and the public information officer for the Harford County Health Department.
And I am Felicia Hopkins, and I am a community health worker for the minority health program at the health department.
I'm Sarah Will. I'm the communications specialist at the Harford County Health Department.
And I'm Michelle Peterson, a community health worker with the Harford County Health Department and the minority health program.
So the minority health program, this is a new program, right?
I say fairly new.
Fairly new.
How new?
So it will be a year April 7th. Yeah, it'll be a year April 7th, but we really haven't been out there in the community until maybe I would say like June or July.
Right.
And
something in the way.
Yeah, June or July, because I think more so March was us learning. Well, May was us really learning what we were going to be doing. We were going to go out into the community and talk about not just health. We were talking about vaccinations, and giving information to about COVID-19 at that time. Because we found that the data was showing that in certain areas like in Edgewood and Aberdeen, that the numbers were very low for people getting vaccinated. So they hired us to go out there.
You and Michelle.
Michelle and I to go out there and either find out why, educate, make sure that people knew where places were to get vaccinated and make sure that they were, could get there. On top of that, we were also finding out, talking about different health disparities mm-hmm. that were going on in public health disparities, and some of those were barriers to like health insurance,
food
insecurities, mm-hmm. A litany of other issues that plagued specifically for Harford County.
Right.
And so I think that we started really going, we had to figure out a way to actually reach more people. It was just two of us.
Wow.
And so,
is it still just you two?
It is, but we came up with some very creative ways to reach people. And one of those ways was, unfortunately, we had a death in June 10th. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. June 10th. Oh. There was a young man that was murdered due to gun violence. It wasn't gang-related, but at that particular time, we talked about the fact that when someone is murdered in an area, that not just the family is affected, but the community,
the whole community is
affected. So that's where we came up with a time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh.
So what we did at that time, back in June, we got some trauma specialists, and they came all the way from New York City.
Yep.
Whoa.
They had a mobile van, mobile bus, or RV.
It was an RV.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And it's called the Peace Mobile.
The Peace Mobile.
I like that.
And what they did was they actually ministered to families in different ways. They called themselves credible clinicians. And we also all know that, you know, representation matters. And so when they came out with different unique ways culturally to respond to traumas of gun violence. And we had about 30 or 40 people that showed up that day. They came and they gave out different gifts, talked to us about the traumas, and they were really able to connect. So it started to spring forth like, well, hey, let's try to replicate this in other neighborhoods.
Right.
So that's how we started that. But then we also started a biweekly broadcast because we wanted to be able to get more resources to different communities that we possibly could not reach just mm-hmm. one foot mm-hmm. or just reaching a church at a time. So the biweekly broadcast is called Let's Talk About It. And we talk about health disparities and public health issues, diabetes, cardiovascular disease, what to do when you find out that you're pregnant. We talked about, what else, Michelle?
Self-care.
Self-care
is huge. That was
the that was
one.
Really
huge
one. That was
healthy
a really
eating.
Big, healthy
huge.
Eating.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And so we kind of, you know, people don't always want you to triage them about health.
Right.
So we came up with creative ways to be able to sandwich it into something, give the community something while we are out there giving them good resources. So we have the data. We know that cardiovascular disease is a big thing. We know that diabetes is a big thing, mm-hmm. eating right and healthy. But when we go out, we did a book, Dinner in a Book, mm-hmm. back in November, right. which we brought out minority authors. We partnered with the Harford County Library. They came out and they brought books out that were specifically minority authors or just geared to minority population. And when we say minority population, we're not just talking about black and brown. We're
right.
talking about the LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about the Asian population, Latino, Filipino population. And we had an author come out that talked about social emotional learning. Mm-hmm. And everybody got a healthy dinner. And then at that particular event, Marcy, our acting health officer, was in the kitchen putting together platters, which was so funny and cute.
Marcy was?
Yes, she was.
It was so awesome.
It was so awesome. And Rania was there helping put things together because this was like one of our other first live events mm-hmm. before we really officially had to shut down because of COVID.
Something tells me you guys don't let Rania in the kitchen.
No, I was in it, but I wanna give them props because I liked how, so when they do set up a lot of these events, it's
right.
really focused on just like open conversation. So they had like a panel, you know, they made it where they, you know, they were sitting in their director chairs, they had a panel, and
you know, they were having this open conversation, which was really good because it got other people to see not just, you know, Felicia and Michelle's perspective as community health workers, but other people in the community too as well. So it was really great how many people were there to just listen, how they had it set up. And that's really how they have a lot of these events set up, is because it's supposed to continue to open that conversation and build trust. Because that's the most important thing. If we're going to talk about, you know, minority health and things like that, it's all about building trust. And in general, even as we see forward, moving forward with the pandemic, with health nowadays, if there's no trust there, no one's going to receive the care that they want or seek out the care that they want. So a huge thing that they do in their program is really build trust with the community. And that's the most important aspect, I think, of their program that we really just, we focus on a lot.
So do you guys actually videotape any of that so you can share it through Facebook, Twitter, and all that with everybody
some
else?
Some of our events are videoed. Okay. The Crockback Smackdown.
Oh, that was
the Crockback Smackdown.
So,
we have to talk about this. We have to talk about this.
Disclosure. I am the queen of mispronouncing words, so Michelle and Rhonda keep me in check. It is Crockpot.
The crock pot throwdown.
So they had this really great idea of having an event where they would teach people how to make healthy meals.
Right.
So the three of us were sitting down discussing, okay, like what would be like a good name for the event? And we kept saying,
AJ came up with the name.
It is a crock pot throwdown, but then I kept messing it up and I kept saying crock pot smackdown. Like, yes. Like wrestling.
So since that time, we've never got the name.
Even though it's a past event.
Even live, I would just confidently say it's a smackdown. And Michelle's like, no.
It's a throwdown.
I've made that mistake multiple times.
But the good thing about it is it built so much excitement that we were able to procure about 30 people that registered. We cut it off. There's the crock pots over there.
I was wondering why the crock pots were sitting here.
It's I'm getting ready to say it again. You just jumped it in my head again. But what we did was we did it live at the Windsor, at Lakeview. And the people came in, they got to sample meals. We had a professional, a chef there, Chef Catherine Brown. And she was able to prepare the meals. What I liked about it is that the center that we were at did not have a crock pot. And she, at the end, not only did her before and aftercare program get that meal that she prepared, but she also got a crock pot as well for her center. And other people there were able to, but we videoed that. We just did the smoothie Simp and Paint last Thursday, and we taught everyone how to make healthy smoothies. So Chef Catherine Brown couldn't be there that night, but she sent us her recipes, and we replicated them, and while people painted, they were able to sample. We made the smoothies, and had everyone test them, judge them, you know, tweak them. It was great.
This sounds like a lot of fun.
But at the same time,
people are learning.
That not only learning, but we have resources there from the Upper Chesapeake Medical Center.
Right.
Those from the LHIC. Health Department programs. Megan's Place. The dental program. And we are announcing that while they're sitting there enjoying themselves. And they go home with that bag of resources.
Is this every month?
Yes.
The crock pot thing?
No.
Oh.
It's different every month. No. We can replicate that.
You're going to do the crock pot thing again next year?
Well, this is what we did. So, you want to tell Michelle?
No, I was going to say a lot of people are looking forward to us doing another one.
So you got to. Yeah, but it's got to be, you got to name it the Crock Pot Smackdown. So everybody can smell what Chef Brown is doing. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's some wrestling on
that's
the TV.
That's the wrestling. Yes. That's good.
Hey, that's how we're going to get the guys in.
That's right.
Get everyone
that's how
gloves.
We can get the guys in. Be because we...
You could get the guys in doing it that way easily. and some more women too.
Yeah. What were you saying?
No, I was just going to say, we can do something in with the people that got the crock pots. Mm-hmm. We can see who can make the best meal in their crock pots, and it'll really be a smackdown.
Yeah, it would really be a smackdown.
I was going to say, you can get some boxing gloves, make it a physical activity thing, stress relief.
Yes.
Talk about liability.
Yeah.
You know, there's a local wrestling federation here in Harford County. You might even be able to get them to come out.
But listen, we had such a great response from that. Mm-hmm. And again, as Rania was saying, it's about building trust.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So even though we're naming these great things, we wanted to translate to more people coming out. So when you go to the Harford County Health page and you see what we're doing, don't just think maybe I might come out, because the smoothie slip and paint, people walked away with the ingredients. Mm-hmm. We had bags there. They were able to walk away with the ingredients.
Right.
They were able to walk away with, we did a Kahoot game. A Kahoot game. You know how they do?
It's like a Jeopardy almost.
It's like a Jeopardy. Yeah.
Okay.
So they were able to pull out their cell phones, and it's like a cute quiz of what we did that day.
Yeah.
And then the winner walks away with the prize, and we had their pictures. And one winner walked away with one of the crock pots. She was so shocked. She did not come there thinking that she was getting anything but like a smoothie and painting, but then she won. And what we liked about it was actually someone that hadn't been to any of our things before to know what we do. And for her to walk away with the crock pot was like, she was like, this is the best thing. When are you going to do this again? So,
you know what? This is perfect. It's perfect timing, in all honesty, because first of all, I want to thank all of you guys, because during the pandemic, I used to get so irritated, you know, looking at social media and everybody that was so against the health department, just all the negative comments that were put out there. And what you're doing here, you know, doing these little programs and events, and you're getting back out in the community and showing everybody, hey, we are here to help. Yeah. You may not agree with everything we say, but we have your health in, you know, is our biggest interest.
Absolutely.
And that's why we're here to do it.
What I also would like to say is that Marcy and Rania and the entire team have been extremely supportive of mm-hmm. us, extremely supportive of our ideas. And every time we bring something to the table, I don't think that there's a time that they ever said, like, no, we can't do this. They're like, hey, well, how can we support you, you know, helping us reach out to other people? So
what you're doing is completely different.
I want people to understand that the whole team, from Marcy to all the other departments, have been very supportive of this program.
Good.
I appreciate that. I want to say, well, the thing is, before Felicia and Michelle got here, it was really, like, myself and, like, Christina working on, like, minority health stuff. And as much as, like, I don't really consider myself a minority, I can't reach a certain part of the community because I might not understand their
right.
community as well. I can sit and talk to them, and I can understand through conversation, but I don't live it day by day.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing them in, if you have people who live their lives day by day, and that connect with that community. And so, you know, what I can do is I can provide them with the health information, stuff that they need to help make their community healthier. But mm-hmm. and at the end of the day, those are the people that are going to make the difference versus me, who may not be able to connect with the community as much as that they can do. So it's kind of that, to the understanding of, you know, where can, how can I assist them and how can they assist
mm-hmm.
me? And that's like the best part about bringing both of them in to help us, because, you know, I was doing all this stuff, but it wasn't ultimately, actually, in my eyes, I feel like making as much of a difference as what they're making.
Oh, you're missing some.
Yeah.
So there's a name for that, and what I, it's called culturally credible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're so what the health department has actually done is hired people that are culturally credible to be able
mm-hmm.
to go in those communities and reach people that they want to reach, but they know that there's a different mm-hmm. arm that needs to be
right.
in that community. And so even with the Help LHIP program, they have to hire someone that is of Latino-Filipino that can go out in the community and be culturally credible to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we know the resources are good that we offer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But we also need credible clinicians and credible, culturally credible people to go in those communities and give the resources that we know we desperately need.
And to add, to that, what also makes us culturally and credible people are that we work, live, and play in the same community.
Right.
And we've also been clients as well, so we can kind of relate to the people that we're serving.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. So both of you are new to the health department then?
Well, I'm not new. I worked with the health department through another company, I would say.
Okay.
I was pretty much called an embedded community health worker for 2 years with the health department.
All right, so before we get further into the program, this is something I haven't done in a while. All right.
I was hoping you would do this.
I'm going to. All right, I got a number behind my back between 1 and 10. Felicia, you pick first.
9.
8. Michelle. 8. Oh, you were the closest. It was 3. So, Michelle. Let's talk about you. What made you decide to actually come to the health department? What were you doing beforehand?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Well, before I was working with Upper Chesapeake with the Medicare population, doing the same thing, but we were actually trying to keep people from being readmitted in the hospital.
Oh.
But in that position, it kind of kept me in like a certain range of people. And so what made me come here is because I'm able to work with a wide variety of age groups, from birth to 100 plus.
So how long have you been in the health field then?
Oh, I've been in the health field for years. I used to be a CNA, GNA, and then I went to becoming a community health worker.
Oh, wow.
So it's probably been about 15 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
And did you ever think you'd be doing this? So you, back in high school, this was your dream?
Well, my dream was always to be a social worker. So this kind of helps in the same field because it's somewhat of a case management position. So, yeah, I always felt like I would be, I've always had the heart to help people. So I knew I would be here. Just didn't know the exact title. It would be community health worker.
So how did you end up coming here then? I didn't see any job postings. Or
this
did they
position,
contact you?
I actually knew somebody that kind
of. Oh, okay.
You know, so I worked with Kim Prout prior, and she knew the type of work that I was doing, and so she kind of said, "Hey, we got a position here. I think you'd be great." So I came on.
And you love it, right?
Love it.
Well, God, it sounds like you guys are having a load of fun too. Which, and that makes work important. People don't realize that you have to have fun at work.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
you
get stressed out like crazy. Right, Ryan?
And it's more fun when you do
yes, right?
what you love.
Yes,
it's more fun that way.
Yeah. So, Felicia, what about you? What were you? You were doing event stuff before, right?
Mm-hmm. How long do we got?
There's no time limit on the podcast. Tell us your story, where you started, and you know why.
This is a podcast in itself.
Where do I begin? I'm just kidding. I've always been working in the community.
Okay.
So I was the vice president of the Sickle Cell Association out here in Harford County.
Really?
I'm the former vice president now because it's a 2-year term.
Uh-huh.
But I was there for 4 years in that same position. I got to know a lot of people through that position. I'm also a member of the Harford County Caucus of African American Leaders.
Okay.
I worked along with Dr. John Sampson with some of his events where he is an anesthesiologist for Johns Hopkins. So I helped put together programs for him, outreach programs.
Mm-hmm.
I was a former campaign manager for Andre Johnson when he...
Just saw him last night?
Before he was elected. I helped put together health fairs for him and different events. What else? I have my own nonprofit, which is the Youth Enrichment Society.
And that's you?
Yes, that's me, yes.
Okay.
I am the president of the Youth Enrichment
I knew her
Society.
From somewhere.
Yes. Is it yes, right? It's yes.
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 It's yes. And so that's been in existence since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is... not just the underserved population, but those young people that need community service hours. We help them. People call us from all over the place and let us know, either in the local government or different organizations. We need some volunteers. We need some youth volunteers. We have a listing of kids. We got them. We also offer them help with scholarships.
Mm-hmm.
If anyone's listening, you need help with scholarships, we're the people to call. We know the connections. Not only do we have access to scholarships, but we help you with the scholarships, like making sure that you keep the deadline,
right?
Making sure that you have your letters of recommendation, the whole nine yards. We take unique field trips as well. We have helped Kat and Happy to Grace with the cleanup.
Love them.
They're awesome people. We did that. We did Keep Aberdeen Beautiful. So my love for community, when I hear about a need,
mm-hmm.
and you're sitting there and you're hearing about what we can do, I cannot get up from the table and just say, I can't do anything. I'm that type of person that if I see a need, I want to be able to lend my support and help.
I think you and I are twins in a way. I'm the same way. I mean, just...
I cannot. And the thing is that I worked in the Baltimore City. At my church, we did a health fair near the harbor for about 20 plus years. And that yielded over 1,000 people. You can look that up. First Apostolic Faith Church. And so each year we help plan that. So me coming to the health department... I knew that we need more voices out here mm-hmm. as far as what our health disparities are in public health. I believe that they brought me on board because of the outreach that I have to the different dignitaries and leaders and council members and communities that we can reach to be able to bridge gaps.
I was going to say, if everything you've done and you're doing, your outreach has got to be phenomenal. I mean, just...
Well, the interesting part is that people don't always know what the health department has to offer.
Exactly. Some people in the health department don't know what
all
other departments have to offer.
So the uniqueness of me being able to be here, we meet with the community advisory board, which is our stakeholders, once a month, and we keep them updated on what is going on as far as minority health.
Okay.
We are still building trust in areas, you know, because, again, people don't always want to be triaged. They want, you know, but we have to think of unique ways to reach them. And I like to create things that are fun, engaging, and also getting your message across. So I've been on different boards, and people have asked me to help them to create programs that would be able to better reach the population that they're trying to reach. And so being at the health department is just like a win-win for me. You know, I love people. I love creating programs. I love outreach. I can probably, like, do this for the rest of my life, basically, because it's so much fun to me for people to be able to see that their needs are being met
mm-hmm.
and it's obtainable. And all you'd be surprised, Michelle and I go out all the time and people are like, oh, I didn't know that
the health department did this.
Yeah. And oh, I didn't know that the Boys and Girls Club had this actual, you know, so those type of things are very fun to us. Right now we're planning on partnering with the Boys and Girls Club.
Mm-hmm.
In May, we're going to be doing a mental health lock-in with the Edgewood, Aberdeen, and parts of Happy to Grace, the schools and the young men there, because of the outcry that was in December. You know, because post-pandemic and pre-pandemic, our kids were struggling with either cyberbullying,
mental health,
depression and anxiety, self-care, traumas. Yeah. Ongoing traumas, and so we're creating a lock-in with activities and fun, and also with speakers that are going to talk about sensitive issues, I would say.
Probably like more difficult conversations.
More difficult conversations to have.
But important conversations.
It's going to be in a fun night. Yeah. So we have some very special surprises for our young men that come out. And we
need more speakers? Do you need any more speakers?
We actually are looking for them. We are, what we do, us together, we sit down and we're going to go over the bios and things of potential speakers. So if you want to throw someone's name in there.
John Tay Hall.
Send us his info. But that's how I got here. Yeah. I love working in the community. And I also grant write for Extreme Family Outreach. What I love about Extreme Family Outreach is that they were actually, I went to their church back in Carson Run Road, and they were amazing. They were absolutely amazing, and just a small part that I can play in helping them out right now is just like a dream, you know, because they help so many people. So, but yeah, this is what the Mental Health Lock-In is going to be about. We wanted to start with the young men first. And love on them, and then we'll work with the young ladies as well.
All right, so now I got a question that's going to be very hard for both of you, since, you know, Michelle and Felicia, since you both run this program. Mm-hmm. It is new. I mean, only a year's time, and you, the stuff you've done is amazing so far. So, what difference would you like to see done? Or let me rephrase that. What difference would you like to make within the following year? In the public.
What I would like better connections with the churches. I would like better connections with those local celebrities that we have begun to make connections with, for them to not only trust us, but I want them to be able to engage in the programs and be healthy. So within a year's time, I want our program to reach further into the community, and that when we go places, people say, we know this is a minority health program, and we know that they have good things for us.
I agree exactly what Felicia said. It definitely takes a village, so we need everyone's partnership. Sometimes a lot of people they have their own thing, and you know, they don't really want to partner, but they want to do their own thing, and we're just out here saying, let us partner with you.
Right.
We can do what you want to do.
We're better together.
And we're exactly.
That's like
the perfect words. We're better together.
I like that. So what other events do you guys have coming up or in the planning stages that you haven't done yet that you would like to do?
Wow. I had a good idea that I wanted to do something with fathers and sons, like a basketball thing. I don't know how we're going to get that done. I think that would be perfect to do. It's just, you know, the ins and outs of everything.
Contact all the local rec councils.
Yeah.
Because they all have, or at least a majority of them have, basketball programs. Reach out to them in the schools.
I've seen a program in Baltimore that they do it annually, and they have a great turnout, and that gives the fathers and sons time to bond. And, I think it'd be great. Yeah.
You gotta have other ideas.
Well, I actually was talking to one of our state senators out here. And I was trying to bring, we were brainstorming a while ago, different ways that our young people can disconnect and connect. And we were thinking about a program called, like, the Great Outdoors. Mm-hmm. You know, Harford County is full of beautiful nature facilities to go to. So I was actually writing it down because I met with one of his, one of her legislative aides yesterday. They want to teach kids how to swim. Canoeing, bird watching, hiking. There's a boating program that is for youth out in Havre de Grace.
Yes.
I had no idea. I sent my daughter up for it last year. She didn't even know she would like it. She loved it. We want to be able to sponsor kids to go to some of these places.
That's a great idea.
Because we have to be strategic about how we help our kids disconnect from these cell phones. You know, it's a you know, the data has shown that depression and anxiety, a large part of it is on social media, and their impressions and their minds aren't fully developed.
Right.
And because their minds aren't fully developed, they're getting aspects of the world that we never had access to at their age. And so they have to process this information with an immature mind. And so this is just one aspect of something that we want to introduce. Another thing is we want to do a Let's Get Moving and use some of our credible, culturally credible clinicians to be able to spot places to walk out here. Mm-hmm. That's something simple that we can do even as a family or family unit, or so that we can be more healthy. So those are things that are coming up. May is going to be Mental Health Matters, where we're going to address the family unit as a whole. When we've been out to some of these programs, like when I go to the food giveaways, I had a mom come up to me and said, I just want to know what you can do to help me with what's going on inside of my home.
Wow.
And it hit me like a ton of bricks, because I had to think about what's going on in my home.
Right.
And how we can better address that issue. So that was more so, that was months ago. But that's why we're doing the monthly meetups, the Time to Heal, Focus on the Family. Because it morphs itself into being able to customize mental health, customize our health, mm-hmm. customize public health, in our monthly thing. So my big thing is that the young people are suffering in silence. They're dealing
they
with
are.
It because they kind of either they're breaking out into these horrible fights. They're becoming, I hate to say, more sexualized, you know, and they're dealing with issues that that we as adults are still working through. But now our kids are also having these conversations with each other that are not healthy.
Yeah.
So our strategic plan thinking is that they should get outside and put their phone down, you know, and they can see that the value in being outside and being outdoors, that would be huge.
Yeah, because I think one of the biggest problems you see with kids today, and I've been saying this since I started the podcast, but especially now, their reality is the phone. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all these different social media sites, what do they call them, the fandoms and all that, mm-hmm. that's their reality. They don't know anything outside of it. Or they know some things outside of it, but not so much.
Yeah. And there was like a survey that was done for like kids during the pandemic, just to kind of see what their lives were like and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And a lot of them, it's good we're focusing on family, because a lot of them were saying how they don't feel like they have a family member they can talk to, which can be sad. So, you know, why do you not feel that? Is it because you feel more comfortable talking with your phone? Do you not feel like you don't have that same relationship that you might have with someone in your family? So we do see that there is that huge disconnect, and then we can see that the technology could be the issue too, with how people connect inside the home. So
mm-hmm. that's one of the things I brought up. Somebody I was talking to, their daughter was looking, she's going through mental health problems, and was looking to TikTok mm-hmm. for all these different therapists and everything. And it's like, well, why don't you just contact a therapist here? Mm-hmm. And but she was relying on all these different therapists on TikTok, which always, you know, don't agree with each other. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you need to speak to a real person. You can't listen to a recorded message.
Yeah, and the things is that we know we're not going to be able to get the phone out of their hands. Mm-hmm. Okay? We know that. So we're not going to try to, mm-hmm. you know, devastate them and cause a trauma on top of a trauma.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if we can show them the value in being outdoors, or the value in other activities, it's like we're re-engaging them with the simpler things mm-hmm. in life that are actually more beneficial to their brain. And if we can connect with the parents to understand the social determinants of health, that, you know, this is, you know, let's do a detox. Let's do a phone detox. You know, maybe it is that we need to get our kids some flip phones that don't have pictures on it, you know, as not punishment, but just so they can detox, because we have kids in their phones that deep.
Yeah.
Personally, my daughter, she was on a particular app and they raised the age limit. So she's no longer able to get on it. They blocked all the kids out. Well, this weekend she cried her eyes out. She was really in a spiral. I don't know, you know, because she could not connect with her friends.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is really serious. So I had to kind of, you know, soothe her the entire weekend because she had a disconnect from that particular aspect of reaching her friends. So, like, you know, they get on the bus. You know, when we would come home from school, we left the bullies there, the teachers there. We left that life there, and mm-hmm. we were home. Mm-hmm. But our kids are not. The world stays with them 24/7, even in their bed.
But what I can say is that when you keep the kids active, they don't have time for their phones.
Right.
So I keep my sons in sports. So the 2-3 hours that they're doing practice, their phones are put up, their tablets are not mm-hmm. there. So keeping them active is probably the best way.
Yeah, and then that's another thing. So the sports is one thing, but even with the Youth Enrichment Society, we have kids that they don't do sports.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what do you do with them then? You got to give them other activities. So these right. are other alternatives to kids that might not want to go play basketball or baseball mm-hmm. or volleyball or something like that. We have to give them some other alternatives.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, sewing classes. There's cooking classes out here for kids. We got to be able to present more of those resources to our parents. And for those that might not be able to afford it, maybe giving them experiences opposed to clothes, shoes, toys, and an upgrade on their phone.
Yeah. And the sad thing is, I was thinking about this not too long ago. You know, I was trying to think, because now you're seeing kids that are in elementary school with cell phones and everything. Mm-hmm. It's like, when did all this happen? Why does everybody need a phone? When's the last time you saw a payphone anywhere?
They're gone.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
I can tell you, tablets are the new babysitters. And that's
why
they have them.
Yeah.
You give them the tablet, they're out of your hair for 2 hours.
I know, my wife hands me my tablet all the time when she was really
young. That's funny.
You better keep that in there.
She don't listen.
To you, or does she just listen to Bob?
Neither.
Yeah, that is, it's, you know, as parents, we're going through a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And just imagine all those years we had hands-on and, you know, we have parents pulling their hair out. I just need a break. Mm-hmm. And then we just hand the cell phone over and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so now, you know, and I have been guilty. And listen, I'm very transparent about this. I have been guilty. You know, you're going through so much or you're doing so much. And then this is easy. It's a nice little educational tablet for you. But now then it morphs into, I want your cell phone. And I've seen little clips of kids that can, they give them the 2-year-old the cell phone.
Yep.
And they can go right to where they want to be. And so that's the culture we have created. We can't blame the kids for that. Mm-hmm. That's the culture we have created for our convenience.
Yeah.
And all opposed to being able to connect with our kids.
Like I was having a conversation, I think this was actually during my marriage prep class, we were talking about family life and how, like, when, you know, when we were little, our parents used to take us to the grocery store and we would sit in the front. We didn't have phones back then to keep us quiet.
Right.
So it was more of that interaction of, hey, like, okay, so this is what I want to make for dinner this week. Why don't you help me pick out the lemons I need to use mm-hmm. to make my food or the tomatoes? And then nowadays, when you walk around and you go to the grocery store, you see the kids sitting in the grocery cart on their phone because that's the one way that the parents can get them to, you know, get through that grocery shopping. And I'm not a parent, so I don't know, you know, full disclosure, I don't know how it's like to take your kid to a grocery store. I can imagine that's probably one of the hardest excursions you have to do as a parent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Especially when very young, but it's... Again, it's like we're taught as if like this is that one thing that will get you to listen or to get mm-hmm. you to behave and stuff, and it's a struggle.
One of the things that scares me about that with kids being on the phones, the tablets, the computers, and even the newer TVs today is when these 10, 20 years from now, how are these kids' vision going to be because of the Blu-ray coming off of all these devices mm-hmm. and messing with their eyes? Mm-hmm. But people don't think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not only mm-hmm. their eyes, you know, we need to pull the data on what is the most educated, the smartest kids being developed in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And what we also have to realize as parents is that we're actually dumbing our kids down. If you, like, I actually today on my phone took social media off. I took off Facebook. I took off YouTube. I took off TikTok because I realized it's affecting me.
Yeah.
You know, and when you're detoxing, I kept picking up the phone and I had to ask myself a question. Why are you picking up the phone?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? What are you going to look at when
mm-hmm.
you get on the phone? And so I have to detox. So what if I'm an adult having to ask my own self those questions and knowing that I have an addiction to picking it up? What are our kids doing? What, they're not asking themselves those questions,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when they're in school, like I have a college student and all, and they have this thing now on their campus, accountability partners, to help them get essays and things done because they're constantly connected to their phones.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a big deal to me and all. So, you know, how smart are our kids going to be? You know, are they going to get all their information from Google or TikTok or wherever else that they go on? How are they processing the information? How productive are they actually being? And it's a big deal to me. And it's a big deal to a lot of parents that I talk to. But the main thing that that can mitigate that is we have to be honest with what we're doing.
Right.
And honest about our parenting. Oh, I'm good. You know, my kids, they go to sports or whatever. But, you know, if they're at sports, there's a time where they're spending more time on their phone than they actually been on the field. You know, if they're playing the violin, there's more time that they're actually on their phone than they are practicing for the violin. Or they're, you know, so it's a big deal.
It's something we keep saying about these. I'm holding up my phone for those that can't see me. But we keep referring to these as a phone.
Mm-hmm.
But kids nowadays, I guarantee you, look at their phones, see how many phone numbers they have in there. Even as adults, when you go to buy a smartphone, what are you looking at? Most adults are looking at, oh, what's the pixels? How many mm-hmm. megapixels are
the
camera?
Oh, I was looking at, can you easily transfer my information?
Right, but a lot of people don't buy it to use as a phone anymore.
Right.
And you know the kids aren't. Kids don't call anybody. They're texting.
They're texting.
They don't know how to talk on the phone. Some of them don't know how to talk, so, you know, in person.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the idea of just going back to the old flip phones or the
help
old
them to detox.
Yes.
But I wanna like say something that Felicia was mentioning earlier, how like we can't take the phones away from them.
Right.
But I think it also goes back to us teaching them how to properly, like, the good parts about the phone. Like
mm-hmm.
what kid do you know sits down and actually reads the news? Like I feel like nobody's sitting down watching the news, anything.
Newspapers.
But there's like actually some aspects, I think, of some of the social media where you can actually get news in a click second to your fingertips. So it helps to... So I want to say, like, if we can't take the phones away, but at least educate them on how to, use them for some good things. And one of those ways is probably reading up on the news, how do you properly do... And I hate saying research because research isn't a correct term for it. But if you want to look up to, say, like, I don't know, maybe properly do a sit-up or properly do, like, something
yeah.
simple.
Mm-hmm.
Where how can you find the best ways, like, best articles on your phone about that? What are you looking at? Is it coming from the CDC? Is it coming from, you know, I know how to make you lose weight.com? Like something stupid.
Yeah,
but
it's
it goes back to, like, you know, we can't take them away, but we have to educate,
mm-hmm.
you know, people on how to, like, properly use your phone and how to properly get that information
mm-hmm.
that you're looking for, too.
Well, not to mention, too, like, especially with the pandemic now, school is online. Like, it's on Zoom or whatever. So you also have to remember, like, you know, kind of teaching them how to take their classes. And,
mm-hmm.
like, you don't want them to also be behind in, like, learning technology to be successful in some jobs or
mm-hmm.
or school and things like that. So, yeah, I think it's definitely teaching them how to use technology mm-hmm. in a healthy way.
We all do. Yeah. Parents need yeah. to learn how. I mean, and I'm saying this because I don't care who says that I'm not telling the truth. Parents need to really parent mm-hmm. outside of our cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
We need to re-engage with our kids differently outside of our cell phones because we're missing some life lessons, and these kids aren't crossing their bridges correctly because of the fact that their parents were supposed to be mm-hmm. teaching them these skills. We can't count on the schools to do it. So yeah. if we're not counting on the schools to do it, the church to do it, then you need to do that. We need to re-engage our kids. And so therein lies our title, the Focus on the Family series. It's a time to heal, time to disconnect and connect at the same time mm-hmm. to something, the simpler things in life, so to speak. But it's still going to help them with brain development. It's going to help us heal our families because, you know, depression and anxiety come from, you know, and fighting and the mm-hmm. traumas and things. They're all because we have not engaged properly with our families, the people that actually live in our homes, you know. So
I think a lot of that's got to do with, and something I've always told my kids, and when you said that, it just hit me. You know, no matter what job you get in life, the education never stops. Mm-hmm. But I think as parents, one thing we forget is, and when you were talking, it just hit me, as parents and families, we need to be educated even more.
Yeah.
Because things have changed. You know, the days of, what was it, Dr. Spock is gone.
Yeah.
You know, parenting is completely
he
different.
A lot of fun.
These things, when cell phones first came out, parents were against them. Now, how many parents rely on the cell phone to start their car or something? Yeah. I mean,
change the heating in your house. Yes.
I mean, technology has changed so much, and I think I would love to see some webinars or even classes for that where to educate the parents.
Yeah, it starts with the parents. We can't blame it all on the kids.
And some parents are lost.
They don't have jobs to buy it. We bought it for them.
Right.
You know, so therefore.
I think that's got to be a rule. Parents should not buy something for the kids until the parent knows how to use it.
The parent not only knows how to use it, but they are going to be responsible mm-hmm. for the effects that it's going to have on their children.
Yeah.
It's been quite a battle in our house because I know that my children got technology when they were like 10 or 11,
mm-hmm.
a cell phone. And then it was like a thing in the classrooms, like if you didn't have a cell phone, mm-hmm. so it became peer pressure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, it's like, well, all my friends have cell phones.
Yeah, so why can't I have a cell phone?
And when did that start in the schools where you were allowed to take your phone into school?
Yeah, like
that's
what I was wondering, because I remember like some high schools were like, oh, you can't have your phone out at all. Then it turned into like, oh, you can have your phone out during lunch, and then it was like,
I went to school, you couldn't even take a calculator into school.
Yeah, remember, you couldn't use your calculator.
They used to have the calculators on your watch, and if you were caught with one, the teacher would take it away.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now they're you're encouraged to bring your phone to school.
Yes, wow. You're encouraged to bring it because there's different aspects of their lesson that they haven't on, mm-hmm. like. Is on the phone and for safety purposes. So maybe it is that we need to build legislation that at a certain age that they can only have a flip phone, you know, because of brain development.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm very serious because it's just, I mean, I've talked with parents that the children are more suicidal based on situations that they've had on their cell phones.
Mm-hmm.
And that the situations that they mentally could not handle from their cell phones.
Yeah.
And also, where does it stop? And this is important to me, and this is important to parents that I engage with. And this is not just a minority health program. This is a public health issue at large.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so
especially the social media part.
Mm-hmm. The social media part is very dangerous.
Yeah.
But, you know, it has its benefits. But, again, us as parents, we have to engage with what our kids are watching.
Mm-hmm.
I have a 13-year-old. I sit down and watch the things that she watches just so I can understand what she's laughing at, you know, or if she showed me a picture and I'm like, I don't even know what this picture's supposed to mean. but this looks cringy. What is this? And also, I sit down. I make myself do it and sit down and watch her different anime shows and stuff like that. And I sit down and I have a conversation with her about what we're watching. How many parents are actually doing that? You know, how many parents are actually watching what their children are watching and being able to sit down and explain to them what they're looking at? And also, when that parent at that particular program we were at, we were giving out shots. They were giving out shots. What can you do to help me with my family? I saw that as many different aspects. Yeah. And this cell phone and the attachment to it is one of those strong elements.
So with your program, if somebody wants to find out information, any events going on, how do they find out?
So the first thing they're going to do is go to the Harford County Health page. And we have a link on there that says Minority Health. They can go on there to find out where we're going and where we've been. You can also look at us on Harford County Health, the Facebook page, and we'll have announcements on there as well. But those are the two main things that they can do and look for when we'll have our biweekly broadcasts.
Speak and with the broadcast, because you said it's on Facebook too?
Yes, Facebook. And
share that to the Harford County Living Group page.
All right, yep, I got you.
You know, I mean, the more exposure you get out there,
yeah, the more faces. This particular Monday, Crown of Life, mm-hmm. with their new obesity program, they're going to present, and we're going to interview and talk with them about their obesity program. We were just with them this past Saturday at their, health fair?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Health and Wellness Fair.
Health and Wellness Fair. And we want to eventually touch on the dental program that the health department has, and that's located in Edgewood. So just stay tuned. It's still developing. Some things, you know, we have to confirm people. It's, you know, so just stay tuned, and we'll keep you updated as we get our information, too.
Well, I want to thank, first of all, Marcy's not here. So I want to thank.
We're in fun button meetings.
I want to thank the health department for, you know, bringing this program in. I think it's a great addition to the health department. And Felicia and Michelle, thank you for everything you guys are doing. And I want my crock pot now.
I want to do a snack down first.
I'll do my. You'll smell what I'm cooking. I promise it'll be good.
I was going to say, do you have any good recipes?
Thank you. Parting gift.
I love my crock pot.
So this time, instead of recommending a podcast, I want to recommend something different, a TV show. This can be found on Harford TV, or you can actually go to harfordtv.org, and it's also on YouTube, which I'll have a link for it in the show notes. But that's Public Health Matters, which is actually hosted by Rania Nassar of the Harford County Health Department. Check it out. They always have some great information on there. As a matter of fact, I think for this month, she is speaking with people from SARC. So it's definitely worth looking into. And you can even go back some past episodes and see Molly, who was with the Harford County Health Department for a while. So again, that's Public Health Matters on HarfordTV.org or Harford TV if you live here in Harford County. Until next time, my name is Rich Bennett. I want to thank you again for joining the conversation. So I'm sitting here with Michelle of Align Rehabilitation, and she is really growing and has something coming up on May 3rd.
On May 3rd, Align Rehabilitation will be having our grand opening of our brand new physical therapy facility. We are directly next door to Real Life Prosthetics, who has also expanded their lab as they build out their prostheses. So May 3rd is grand opening. I invite everyone to come tour both my brand new facility for physical therapy treatment, as well as see what Real Life Prosthetics has done with their new lab.
And what time is it?
It's 11 to 2, and then the ribbon cutting is at 11:15.
And so what's the address?
The address is 3435 Box Hill Corporate Center Drive, Suite C, Abingdon, Maryland 21009.